Well, we've had 1 week after the election and then one more week, and a lot of people are already blaming the president. But like I said last week, Dolores is on top of all of this, and she has said that we get the president we deserve. And it has to do with the people more than the man. So let's come over here to Isaiah, the third chapter, and let's see some things that are going to come about. And things are not going to get better. They're probably going to get a little more difficult. Okay? Isaiah 3. Now, sooner or later, we're going to be confronted with some very difficult situations. Now, here's what happened to Jerusalem, and God said it would happen. And historically, you can read about it in Josephus and other publications about the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. And it was very interesting the way that all of that occurred, because there were three invasions by King Nebuchadnezzar. And after each invasion, God gave Israel a chance to repent. And we'll see that in just a bit in Jeremiah. But let's look and see some of the main reasons why these things occurred. And we look at what's happening right now, it seems as though everything's falling apart. There's war right there in the Gaza Strip. The Jews are coming after the Palestinians. The Syrians are going after the rebels. Turkey is getting involved. Egypt and the Brotherhood are coming up, and they're going to be belligerent against Israel. And it doesn't look like there's going to be any good solution. In the meantime, they talk about, well, you know, let's have peace talks. Well, they've had peace talks for what, 60 years? Maybe not quite that long. But before we get to Isaiah 3, let's come to Zechariah 12 so we can talk a little bit about Jerusalem. Now, the Jews there in Palestine, and I don't think it's right to call it the Holy Land because it's anything but holy. Nothing but war, blood, guts, and killing, and conniving, and hatred, and everything like this. And how many wars have the Jews fought? Well, the 1948 war to get there. Then they had the 67 war, and then they had the 83 war. For a while, they had Egypt as a peace partner. But now, and I think also we need to realize, and the Jews are going to have to understand some things too, that there are some things that they need to change if there's going to be any release from what they're going through. Now, would we put up with it, with rockets coming through and bombing our towns? And yet they put up with it and put up with it and put up with it, and you have such total, absolute hatred. It is just vehement beyond any reason. You can't sit down and reason with anyone. And all of this is because of the sin of Israel and because of the fight between the brothers, the twin brother of Jacob, Esau, and the half-brother of Isaac, Ishmael. And now there's no relenting. All right? So God says here, verse 2, Zechariah 12, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling." And that's what it is right now. They had their first rocket come right in there. "Cup of trembling unto all people all around." So all of the nations affected right there. And we're going to see in a minute that it also includes the whole world. And think about where the final battle with the return of Christ and the saints is going to be, right in that area, just north of Jerusalem. "All who burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces." Now, we've seen what the Jews have done to those who come after them. though all the nations of the earth be gathered against it. And that's what we're seeing right now. I wonder how long it's going to be before they say, well, let's have some armies of different nations come in and keep the peace. We'll have to see. Verse 4, in that day I will strike every horse with terror and his rider with madness, and I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah, and I will strike every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the people of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. Well, now we have an Israeli prime minister who is not going to back down to anybody. And so this is going to happen. And I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire upon the wood, and like a torch of fire among the sheaves. And they shall devour all the people around them. Now think about the wars that they had against the Palestinians when they came the first time, 48. They won. Think about the war that they had later with Lebanon. They won. Now they've had two wars with Lebanon. Okay. Think about the Yom Kippur War and think about the 83 War. They won. They were told that if they went against the Egyptian army in Sinai, that they would be wiped out because the Egyptian army at that time was well supplied with all the Soviet arms, and they had a large army. Well, what happened just exactly right here? The Jews came in there and they knocked out virtually all the tanks from air superiority, and they took over the whole Sinai in about 3 days. So, moral of the story is, you don't want to mess with God. Now, Ahmadinejad from Iran, which is Persia in the Bible, says that they want to destroy all the Jews. And I think he would do well to read the book of Esther. Even though God is going to punish his people, he is not going to tolerate and stand for anyone doing anything that he has not proposed or that he has not caused to happen. So we'll have to see how that goes. Makes you wonder, will the Jews do something to Iran after they take care of Gaza? Now, you know the history of Gaza, don't you? They took Gaza because it was a place where they had a lot of terrorist activity. And they kept it for a good number of years. Then they made a peace agreement with the Palestinians, and they took all the Jewish settlers out of Gaza, moved them back into what they call Israel, and gave it back to the Palestinians on the proviso there would be no terrorist activity from Gaza. Well, that has long since been violated. And right while we're speaking, they may be invading and taking Gaza back because they're not going to put up with it. Imagine if you lived over there where the rockets come, you wouldn't know whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die. And so that's really quite an awful, terrible situation to be in. So notice what's going to happen here. All around. Okay, let's pick it up here when Christ returns. Verse 7, the Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first. So there's going to be a conversion of Jews. And that's going to be just right before Christ returns. So that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the people of Jerusalem might not be magnified above Judah. In that day, the Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It shall be, he who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David. To all the Palestinians and Syrians, they better watch out what they're going to do. And the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come up against Jerusalem. Then he says he's going to pour out a spirit of repentance upon the house of David, the people of Jerusalem, verse 10, spirit of grace and supplication, and so forth. All right. Now let's come back here to Isaiah, the third chapter. Let's see why all of these things are happening the way that they are happening, and we're going to see that the Bible tells us more than any other commentator, more than any news channel. They have no idea what's in the Bible. They have no idea what's going on. And every time they try and solve a problem and come up with another government solution, it doesn't work. Because the problem is not the government. The government is reflective of the people. And the problem is not a government program. The problem is that people have forsaken God, like I wrote in the letter you got this week. Now, sooner or later, it will come to this. And you think about how quickly when the disaster hit back on the East Coast, how quickly the stores were out of food, out of water, out of batteries. And now there are, 200,000 still homeless. Now we're, 2.5 weeks since it occurred? Now stop and think about this. What would you do if you were in their position? No home? No bed? You have to be in a shelter? You go back and look at your home, if it's still there. There's the foundation. Everything's all destroyed. How long are you going to be out of your home? Well, like I said a couple sermons ago, people don't like it. But God doesn't like it when people leave him, because he's given everything to them. So here's what he did to Jerusalem. And you see, the fallacy of Jerusalem is almost the same as the fallacy of America today. They said, we're Jerusalem. We're the city of God. This is where God chose to place his name. Oh, surely he wouldn't do anything to destroy it. Well, the truth is, if the people don't do what God wants, he will destroy it. And he will destroy the people. Same thing we say today. Well, we're Americans. We can handle it. We can overcome it. We can do it. But what are you going to do when you have a disaster that is so large that there is absolutely nothing anyone can do? What's going to happen then? Well, let's look at some of the causes. And the reason I'm bringing out the causes is so that we can watch the news, see things develop, and see exactly how it's going to come about, just like God's word. Isaiah 3, verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and Judah the stay and staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. The man of might and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the ancient. Everyone is going to be confused. No one's going to escape. The captain of 50, the honorable man, the advisor, the cunning charmer, the skillful enchanter, and I will give young lads to be their princes, and capricious children shall rule over them. And I think we see that happening today, don't we? Yes, indeed. And the people shall be crushed. A lot of people feel crushed, right? Every man by another, and every man by his neighbor. The young shall rise up against the old. That's what happened in the election, correct? Yes. The young, the emotional. And of course, people today, you know, the young think, well, hey, we're smart, we're hip, we're really cool, we're good. We have our cell phones, we have our government, this, that, and the other, and we're in good shape. Well, hold on. Now continuing. The young shall rise up against the old, the base against the honorable. When a young man shall take hold of his brother of his father's house, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler, and let this ruin be under your hand. It's going to get so bad that no one's going to want it. In that day he shall swear, I will not be a healer, there is no bread nor cloak in my house, and you shall not make me a ruler of people. So we see the whole thing as it describes it. Now we can just take this and we can expand it out to the modern nations of Israel today. Jerusalem is staggering. Judah has fallen because their tongue and their doings against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look of their faces witness against them, and they declare their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul. Now, we're going to look at quite a few woes, so look at those, because we'll see this is exactly what is happening today. We are bringing these woes upon us. Woe to their soul, for they have rewarded evil to themselves. As you sow, so shall you reap. Say to the righteous, now here's some encouragement for us. God wants us at all times, when their difficulties come along, take hope in him, trust in him, look to him, like I covered last week, deliver us, he will. Verse 10 now, say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. So God will watch over us. He will protect us. He will keep us from a lot of things that come along. Now, we also have to take care of ourselves. We also have to be wise as serpent and harmless as doves. Woe to the wicked, for the evil doing of his hand shall be given to him. And that is coming. It will be coming. Now, look at this verse here, because this really describes a lot of things that are going on. Verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors. And is that not true? Absolutely. Women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. By teachings in school, by teachings from the government, by teachings in the churches, they destroy the path that the people need to walk on. And people are not told what is right and wrong. People are not told what is good and evil. And more it's getting that fewer and fewer people are told that. The Lord stands to plead his case and stands up to judge his people, judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of the people and their kings. And so we're going to find out what's going to happen with the government. I think this next 6 weeks are going to be very important. I do not know what's going to happen. I do not know if there is going to be an absolute cantankerous resistance between President Obama and the Congress. Don't know what's going to happen. But it's not going to lead to much good unless they can do something. And even if they do, it's like putting a Band-Aid on. We were watching the news. How many saw in the news the Wonder Bread Company is shutting down? 18,000 employees because of greed from the unions. So they had no alternative. They said, you know, you want your jobs? You don't own them. We give them to you. And you want such high wages, there's no way we can make a profit. Unless we make a profit, we're out of business. We're shutting down. That's it. Likewise with the defense industry. Probably as many as 100,000 people be laid off. And those things will be just like dominoes falling. As you can see wherever you are, when economic activity goes down, businesses go out of business, people are out of work, difficulties come along. Now, pay attention, I'm sure you have, to the news, what's going on in Greece, in Italy, in Portugal, in Spain, and now also in Belgium. Belgium is getting so overrun with Muslims that they predict that within 12 years it will become a Muslim state, a hardcore Catholic country, becoming a Muslim state. Think of that. So we're looking at some very dangerous time. We don't know what's going to happen here in the U.S., but there is one case making its way through the courts. That was the law in Oklahoma where they said, we will not recognize any Sharia law. All right. What does it say in the Second Amendment? Congress shall make no law as to the establishment of a religion or the free exercise thereof. So the seeds of our own destruction were sown in what we thought was really a great statement. Now you have to recognize the other religion. Have we recognized Hinduism? Yep. Have we recognized witchcraft? Yep. Have we recognized other religions? Yes. Now you can't come along and say to the Muslims, we're not going to let you have Sharia law. Have there been laws, court cases allowed and laws where that if someone is keeping the Sabbath because of religious conviction, they can't come against them or fire them? Yes, indeed. So what do you suppose is going to happen with Sharia law? Once it reaches the Supreme Court, which, by the way, they are now analyzing that if things keep going the way that they are, the current president will be able to replace 3 of the Supreme Court justices. Now what's going to happen if that occurs? See? And the whole lesson is, when you turn your back on God, these things aren't going to work. And you can't blame the people. You can't blame the government. But they're all involved. For God says to the elders of the people, for you have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean? You crush my people and grind the faces of the poor, says the Lord, God of hosts. Now here we go again about the women. And think about how all the young girls today, the majority of them are being led right down this garden path. While there are still a few good kids, good teenagers, those who want to do well, they are far outnumbered. And God says this, and the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are proud and have walked with stretched out necks and ogling with their eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab, the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord shall uncover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord shall take away the beauty of the ankle bracelets, the headbands, the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, the sashes, the boxes of perfumes, and the earrings, the rings, nose rings, festival apparel, outer garments, the mantles and the purses, the mirrors and the fine linen and the turbans and the veils, and there shall be instead of fragrance, rottenness, instead of a sash, a rope, instead of well-set hair, baldness, instead of a rich robe, a wrapping of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword and your mighty in the war. And her gate shall lament and warn, and she shall sit deserted upon the ground. Now, those are staggering things that happened before. Now, if this is not bad enough, read the book of Lamentations by Jeremiah. All right, let's see how this came about. Let's see what they did. Chapter 5, Isaiah. God likens Israel to a vineyard. He planted a good one, but it came up with wild grapes. So here's what he says. Let's pick it up here in verse 6. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor dug, but briars and thorns shall come up, and I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. I look for justice, but behold bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold a cry of distress. Now here, all of this is going to come back on our heads. Now these are the woes. Now we saw a couple of them over there in chapter 3, in verse 9 and verse 11. Now there are 7 more that are coming here. And here's why. Woe to those who join house to house. And you can add to it, and you expand it by going higher and higher. Look at the cities in distress back east where the hurricane came. All right? That lay field to field until there is no place left, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. So putting that all together, see. Now he also shows this, verse 10. Yea, 10 acres of a vineyard will yield one bath. That is a measurement of grapes. And the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. Woe to those who rise up early in the morning to go after strong drink. We have an alcohol problem. Do we have a drug problem? Yes, we do. Who continue late into the night while wine inflames them. They're all interested in music. They want a nightclub. They want to do all these things. Verse 12. And the lyre and the harp and the drum and the pipe and wine are at their feasts. And they do not regard the work of the Lord. Yea, they do not see the work of his hand. Therefore, my people are gone into exile because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is dried up with thirst. And so, look at that. All those things. Now let's come down here to verse 18. Let's see another woe. Okay? You can bring this out with the everything that people do. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin with cart ropes, who say, let us hurry and hasten his work so that we may see it, and let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come so that we may know. Mocking God. So when you mock God, what happens? You get rid of him. Verse 20, another woe. Woe. That means bringing distress, affliction, correction. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's what we've been doing. Woe to those. Another woe. God says woe, he means it. Unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And today everyone's going after what they want to do. Everyone has an idea. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a way that they want to live separate from God. Here's another one. Verse 22. Woe unto them who are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Well, I heard on the news driving up north today, there was this 21-year-old new adult up in Chico at the Chico State College. And this happened a year ago, too. That for his initiation, being 21 years old on his birthday, he had to drink 21 shots of whiskey. He's dead. And the colleges are known for their drinking, their sex, their carousing, and then look at all the sports that they have. Think about that. Can you possibly get their minds on God when they're out there Friday night yelling and cheering on their football team or their basketball team? Take a look at some of the sports. Look at the eyes of the students that are there cheering. And if you walked up and you said, young man or young woman, have you ever thought about God? Oh, no, don't. God, you must be crazy. Who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, so here's what's going to happen. And I think, as I covered last week, I think we have reached a point that it's not going to be improving going up. I think we've reached a point that it's going to be going down, 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 and things compound upon another. When these 18,000 lose their jobs, what's going to happen? Now you have 18,000 homes that may be subject to foreclosure pretty quick. And that affects how many other people? And you have all the children. The government does not get the taxes. That affects other people. So it just compounds itself in such a way that it just gets out of hand and it escalates. I wonder what it would be like to spend a day or two in Greece. Yet every one of them think they're doing what's right. Verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame burns up the chaff, their roots shall be like rottenness and their blossoms shall go up like dust, because, here's the whole cause. Everything that we have read right up to this point is the cause. They have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. See, because God made us in his image for a great and wonderful purpose, see. And we know that purpose. But the world is now blinded because they won't listen. They won't obey. Yes, there are some people out there trying to do good. Yes, there are some few honest people out there. Yes, there are some few people out there who want to help their neighbor. But look at what's going to happen. Sometimes in reading these, because they may not be immediate within the next year or two, but nevertheless, they do take place and have taken place. There it is, right there. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is kindled against his people. See, if you're God's people, then when you sin, you receive God's judgment. Same way, whether it's the nations or whether it's the church. And look at what is happening to the Christian church in the world today. It is coming down so fast that it's almost like rats fleeing a sinking ship. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them. The hills trembled, and their dead bodies were as filth in the midst of the street. In all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Then it goes through showing again how he's going to bring other things upon them. Okay? And what is going to happen. And then he says all the way through here, and his anger is not turned away back, his hand is stretched out still. Now let's come to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. In spite of all the prophecy, in spite of all that God condemned the children of Israel for and Jerusalem. Now, I want you to notice something very carefully here, and we will see what God offered the people. Let's pick it up here in verse 19. God gave them a chance of repentance. Thus says the Lord to me, go and stand in the gates of the children of the people, by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, kings of Judah and all Judah and all the people of Jerusalem who enter in by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and carry no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry out a burden from your house on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your fathers. Now, what would happen? Now, I don't know if it's even possible to conceive of any of this from point of view. What would happen if there would be a lot of Sunday-keeping churches repent and start keeping the Sabbath? Because that's virtually what we're looking at here with this. But he says, verse 23, but they did not obey nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, so that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall be, if you, in spite of what your fathers have done, in spite of what's happened here just recently, but if you diligently hearken to me, says the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but to keep the Sabbath day holy, to do no work in it. Now notice what he said he would do. He would stop his judgment. He would take back his hand of correction. Verse 25. Then the kings and rulers sitting on the throne of David shall enter through the gates of this city. riding in chariots and on horses, they and their rulers, the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, and the city shall remain forever. So he gave them a chance. And then he tells them how it would be with them. Verse 27 now. But if you will not hearken to me to keep the Sabbath day holy, and to not carry a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it will devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it will not be put out. Now, part of the problem that the church has to face is all the churches of God. Now, we need to be giving a good message so that as many people as can repent. Now, I don't know how much a difference this is going to make. God alone can do it. But surely we can take a lesson here and say, if right here at this juncture when God was warning them, you're going to go into captivity, all of these things are going to come upon you, I'm going to burn everything up. However, hold on. There's some good news. You know the Sabbath day? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? If you will do that, I will defer my judgment against you. Now, wouldn't that be something? Well, let's go ahead and take a little break.